Well, hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
And today we are really excited and thankful that we get to bring guests to our table today, to our virtual table, to share more about their experience in the, you guessed it, healthcare system. When Kristen first told Amy and me about their story, so we have with us today Travis and Susan Best. When she told us your story, we knew immediately that you all, every single person who can hear the sound of our voice, needed to hear their story, because it's a story of learning to empower yourself with knowledge and information and resources that could potentially save your life. We all grew up in an era where we've heard the phrase, my doctor said, my doctor said, my doctor said, and all of our faith in many cases has been transferred to a medical system that we now know has failed us. Even this week alone, you on the podcast with, Sean Ryan's podcast, and he had Gary Brecka on, and Gary went through, there's a study from, I believe it was Harvard or Stanford, and then from Johns Hopkins, which confirmed third leading cause of death in the United States. First is heart disease, second is cancer, third is medical error. Mm-hmm. That's an important number to know. So if you're going to go all in on your doctor, and in Western medicine, you need to know the risks. We are all about information and looking at risk benefit with every single thing you take and do in your life. And where we know we can bring voice to the conversation is we have educated ourselves, and we consider ourselves students of the risks and the benefits. And so we're not going to throw all the baby out with the bathwater, because that's not wisdom. But what we are going to do is to say, wherever you are in your health journey, whether you're well or whether you're sick, if you have to interact with the medical community, you need to know what you're getting, and you need to know the questions to ask and the things to do. And Kristen and Amy and I have always been very forthcoming that we're here to disrupt that system. Mm-hmm. We know the system is broken. I think that's why you see Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is, those confirmation hearings, I believe, are underway. Why is he such an important part of the conversation? Because most of the country is waking up to how sick we are, who's responsible, big food and big pharma, and in bed with our government, and what we need to do to radically change that. So now I am very honored to introduce to you Travis and Susan Best. Travis received a cancer diagnosis at a local hospital here in Wilmington, North Carolina. We'll let him get into that. But his story is a story every single listener needs to hear and know, so that we can all, when we know better, do better. So Travis, tell us what happened to you.
Goodness, what happened to me? A lot happened to me. A lot happened, Holly. So I'll kind of leave with a backstory. In 2015, I had a cyst pop up on my head, like up here somewhere, and had it removed. And so with that information, you fast forward to, it's now January 2025. So last September, a spot appeared above my ear. And when I say spot, just a little bump. It wasn't a lesion, just a little bump above my ear. And I thought, you know what? The doc told me I may have another cyst in the future. I'm sure it's just a cyst. Let me call, get an appointment. Well, they're all the dermatologists were like 90 days out in Wilmington. So I set up an appointment 90 days out. The appointment was actually supposed to be last week in January of this year. And I just thought, well, no big deal. Last time, they were a little ways out. It just kind of popped up and I dealt with it. Fast forward a few weeks, it started growing quickly. It looked mad, and I'm like, wait a minute, something's not right. So I called a friend of mine that's a doctor, and he got me in with an ENT like 2 days later. They biopsied it. And even then I was joking with the doctor who I was just like, okay, how quickly, once you get the biopsy back, how quickly can you yank this cyst out? Like, I'm ready for it to be gone. And he said, once we get the biopsy back, I can get you done within a week. Like, you're not going to have to wait months. And I said, okay, fantastic. So God's still in my mind, it was a cyst, even though it was behaving a little differently. And at that point, I could feel some lumps in my neck. But my thoughts were, that's my lymph nodes. They're working overtime to deal with whatever's going on. We pull this out, they'll straighten themselves out. Well, he called me on October 1st, and he said, hey, we got the biopsy back. I could tell you where I was sitting. It was downtown on Front Street in my truck I just parked. And he said, we got the biopsy back, and you have squamous cell carcinoma. He's like, not a big, bad, terrible cancer, you know, but not a little basal cell carcinoma either. It is, you know, you do need to take this seriously. I'm referring you to Novant. He's not part of the Novant system, so that's the local hospital. And so I went to Novant. They did another biopsy. And at that point, they were still saying it was squamous cell carcinoma. I say enough, they did two biopsies. They did a core biopsy of the tumor above my ear. And at that point, we did PET scans and found I had two spots in my left lung. So they biopsied all of those areas. And when that biopsy came back, they said we were wrong about squamous cell carcinoma. You have spindle cell neoplasm. And like the cancer world, I still don't understand. Like I'm throwing out a bunch of words like they're easy. I've learned that cancer just stands for carcinoma, and carcinoma is one of over 300 different kinds of cancers. And like last year, they may have decided, well, there are these 20 carcinomas that actually aren't cancer. We're now not calling them cancer anymore. So they're constantly changing things. So sorry for the crazy words, but.
So the science isn't settled is what you're telling us, right?
Yeah, of course not. Of course, the science isn't settled. In 50 years, they'll be like, none of this was cancer. It was food, what we were eating. That was what it was. It was the processed crap that you put in your body. And the same thing that you lather all over yourself to get whatever. So they said spindle cell neoplasm. The reason these are important, when you have cancer, like your diagnosis is what drives any treatment plan. Mm-hmm. So squamous cell carcinoma is treated one way. Spindle cell neoplasm. There is no treatment. It's very rare, very aggressive. And the doctor said, this is what you have. We're going to offer palliative care. That was it. And I'm 46 years old. And I remember thinking to him, like a week before this diagnosis, I ran 6 miles, not winded, did not struggle at all. And now you're telling me I have two tumors in my left lung and I'm going to die from this? Like, that can't, I'm not accepting that. Not to say that it wouldn't happen, but I'm like not accepting that. So at that point, we asked for a referral. They referred us to Duke and Chapel Hill, our UNC hospital. UNC, both of them reached out. UNC got me in very quickly. And I mean, we were at UNC within a week, I'm pretty sure. At that point, I had skinned my head on a cabinet. Like I bent down to get something. And when I came up, the cabinet door was open. It scabbed over and the scab started growing, which sounds weird, but I mean, growing like in an abnormal kind of way. So in Chapel Hill, and that may have been what saved my life, because in Chapel Hill, they cut that scab out and they biopsied it. And that biopsy came back as melanoma. So now all of a sudden Chapel Hill's like, wait a minute, they said squamous cell. Then they said, no, that's wrong. It's spindle cell. Our pathologists are saying this is melanoma. But UNC was like, but we need to see what Novant originally saw, because there is a chance you have two kinds of cancer. They're like, it's very rare, but there is a chance. And if you've got spindle cell, like Novant's right. That's very aggressive. There is no cure, but we're going to send you to MD Anderson or Sloan Kettering or tell you to go home and live your life. Like the choice will be yours. But, you know, we're going to offer you a little more hope than palliative care. We're going to say, hey, go find some experimental stuff. Yeah. Or go home and live your life. So they requested to get the cancer slides is what it's called in the medical world, the cancer slides from Novant. And that's just the slides. They literally, when they do a biopsy, they go in and they yank out a hunk of the tumor. They put it on a microscopic slide and that becomes part of your medical record. And I really didn't understand that before cancer. I thought that like your diagnosis was like some mad scientist dropping, like, hey, I've got this dropper and I put 3 drops, and if it turns blue, it's this, and if it turns pink, you're having a boy or having a girl, and then I just thought it was very scientific. I've learned it's extremely subjective. It's a pathologist who looks at the cancer cells under a microscope and like sees, I guess, the shape of the cells. How are they fast moving? Are they slow moving? Do they move straight? Do they like squiggle around? And so it's really subjective. So, and here's probably my biggest beef with Novant outside of a misdiagnosis twice, which I'm sure the way Novant is set up, and I know some I'm not going to bash a lot, but I'm sure if we pursued legal action, it's not Novant who gave that diagnosis. It's whatever lab they send it off to. And they're going to say, well, we sent it to a lab, not our responsibility. We've washed our hands of it. Because it wasn't a Novant pathologist, but mm-hmm. Novant did the daggone biopsy. I don't care who they sent it to. They should be responsible for that. So,
and they delivered the diagnosis to you and then prescribed treatment for you. So yes, they should be responsible.
Or not treatment.
Or not.
Right.
Basically prescribed death.
Yep. So I don't know. Don't remember the exact dates. I can tell you it was a Monday when UNC requested the cancer slides that Novant had. 2 weeks later, well, 13 days later, Sue is on the phone with a friend of ours, Sherry, and Sherry's like, what's going on with him? And we're like, Novant still hasn't sent the freaking slides. And Sherry was like, what do you mean they haven't sent the slides? Like, they said what you have is rare and aggressive. And UNC requested this 2 weeks ago.
Oh my gosh.
And UNC didn't want to start a treatment plan or didn't want to suggest a treatment plan until they had those slides. So Sherry, I don't know how she found out where the cancer slides were in Wilmington the next day. She drove to the facility, and I have no clue how, but she walked out with my cancer slides in her hand.
Go so Sherry.
That's it. So I owe my life to her.
Everybody needs a Sherry in their life.
But that alone, and I don't care, like Novant gave her HIPAA protected information about me. Like, here you go. Did you just get, and she said it took her about an hour to convince them. And then she personally drove that to Chapel Hill, to the pathology lab, walked to my doctor there, made sure it was at the right place. All things that typically, like, they even told Sherry, like, we can overnight it. And Sherry was like, you've had 13 days, like 14 days at this point to overnight it. You're like, you're putting it in my freaking hand and I'm taking care of it. All that to say, it got to Chapel Hill. The pathologist at Chapel Hill looked at it and said, all of this is melanoma. Like, you have melanoma. So fast forward to today, like if this interview had been done 2 months ago, my left ear was way down lower and you would see the tumor. Like right now, I mean, I don't know how much you can see it in the video. I had surgery 2 weeks ago. You can see an incision there where they took a couple lymph nodes and they removed what was left of the tumor at that point. I did one immunotherapy treatment on November the 25th,
six,
2 days before Thanksgiving. And I ran, this is funny. I ran a 5K 2 days later on Thanksgiving morning, ran the turkey trot.
Love it.
And by December 18th, when I was supposed to do the second treatment, I went in and the doctors, like the tumor that was huge and had literally displaced my ear, like pretty bad, had shrunk significantly. Like when I say significantly, almost to the point where someone that didn't know that I had cancer wouldn't have seen any deformity in my ear. If I pointed out, you'd be like, oh yeah, just now I see that.
Mm-hmm. Wait, are you saying before anything was even done, your tumor was shrinking?
Just one treatment. We did one
therapy. One immunotherapy treatment. Got one you. Okay.
Treatment. Yep. So the doctor was like, time out, you're not doing another treatment. And this is the doctor we have in Chapel Hill is amazing because he said he's like the pharmaceutical company would want me to give you four treatments of this. And it's two different drugs that I was on, four treatments, and then drop one of the drugs and give you one of the drugs for up to 2 years, somewhere between 1 and 2 years. And he's like, as your doctor, I'm telling you that you've had such a positive response and you're having some negative side effects. If I give you another treatment, the negative side effects are going to get worse. And like, and the positive, like your tumor's tiny already. So we're just going to keep monitoring it and then surgically remove it at some point in January. So that the surgery happened 2 weeks ago.
I mean, that is so refreshing to hear a doctor that actually put you over profit. And, yeah. I mean, and like, this is exactly why I wore this shirt today, Pharmacide, because this is what could have happened. First of all, one doctor ain't going to help you at all. Another doctor could have gone the path of what they recommend, but he actually cares. And he's looking at patient outcomes and patient results rather than what's going in his pocket or the hospital's pocket. And I just think that's wonderful to hear. Wonderful to hear. So there's some at least good news with this. And also tell them how much that immunotherapy costs.
Oh, well, even the doctor was mad about this. The there was two drugs, and it was so weird because the first, did you want the story or do you just want the cost?
Oh, you can do it. Tell the story. It's fine. Go for it.
Well, first of all, we use Crowd Health that you guys talk about, recommend. So yay, go Crowd Health.
Yay, Crowd Health.
Absolutely. And that's been an amazing, Sue has handled all that. She could talk specifics if you want that, but Crowd Health has been great through the process. Mm-hmm. So, and we set up, there's lots of fundraisers. There was just the community was so generous to us, mm-hmm. To help with medical expenses. The doctor, when he said, we finally met with the doctor and he's like, this is definitely what you have. Actually, at that point, they weren't certain. He's like, our biopsy says melanoma. We're still waiting on results from the other one, but we're setting up treatment next week. Like, this is aggressive. We'll have the results and confirm all of this prior to your treatment. So, you know, if we don't confirm that it's just melanoma, we may have to back up and change. But right now we're setting your treatment up. And he asked about insurance and we're like, we don't have insurance. We have Crowd Health. And he was like, oh, that's a problem. And we're like, why is it a problem? And he's like, well, this stuff is a little pricey. We're like, okay, how much? And he said, I want to say he said
20,000.
He said 20. And at that point, he said 20,000 up to four treatments. And we were like, we can pay for it up front right now. Like, we do not need to delay care mm-hmm. based off of that. Because we knew Crowd Health, we knew it would work itself out and get reimbursed. So he said, hold on, let me have the nurse come in. So Paula came in and we had the same thing with her. And she said, how much did he say it was? And we said 20,000 and she was like, he was a little off. Like, okay, how much? And it turns out one of the drugs is 8,000. The other one was 103
or 107. 107 for 100 cc's.
Yeah, there you go.
107,000?
1,000. Yes. Yep.
107,000.
Now.
For teeny tiny little bags.
Well, I mean, what is in there? One treatment.
One
was 107,000
yes.
for your melanoma.
Yes. And that now, and I do want to like,
wow,
that's crazy. That's expensive. I do want to, I guess, offer some hope for people that are done with the pharmaceutical world, because ultimately through Crowd Health, we submitted for, a financial hardship application with the pharmaceutical company. And 2 days later, they said, no problem. We're just not going to charge you. You can do this treatment. So they did the right thing.
For a year,
a year's worth of drugs, not just one treatment. So if I needed, you know, four treatments, a year's, whatever, they're like, we're not charging.
And Crowd Health negotiated this for you to get this hardship, or you did?
Crowd Health didn't negotiate that. We did.
You did. So you were just allowed to do a medical hardship. I mean, a financial hardship type situation.
Yes.
Everyone needs to know this too, by the way, just so you know, because I've told this story before, but when our son went to the ER, for a neck injury, they wanted to do all the things, MRI, CAT scan, MRI, and x-ray. We finally deferred the MRI because we knew he was okay. You know, that your spirit's like, no, he's okay. Deferred it. We told them we were cash payers. But before we did, the medical bill for 4 hours in the ER was it was between $26,000 to $36,000. When we told them we were cash payers, it dropped to between $6,000 and $12,000. So I just want everyone to know that this is what we're dealing with. And you guys just showed an example when you show there's financial hardship, because the number one cause of bankruptcy in America is medical bills. Then they did allow you for a whole year to get your drugs covered, which is what should happen. And I'm grateful for that. But we just, again, for educational purposes, we want people to have this information. Okay, carry on.
Yeah. Also with Crowd Health, if you'll tell us how they helped, because also with the, I just had an experience with the ER with my son and everything too. And I just want to remind everybody what Crowd Health always says is that you do not sign any financial paperwork until you actually see a printout of everything, and you don't even need to sign it. With them, you get that and then you submit it to them and they can go from there, because then they can negotiate. I haven't signed anything yet. Crazily enough, they didn't even offer anything for me to sign, probably when I said cash pay at the ER. And yep. then I still haven't with the ortho yet, but I've been in constant communication with my advocate, and I'm just going to submit stuff later. But go ahead. I'll let you go. We just wanted to like at least clarify, because once again, you are in control of your health and your money.
Yes, okay? Honey.
So just remember that.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think that's really, maybe, I guess one other thing I'd like to mention for somebody who has a cancer diagnosis, there's two books, one called Radical Hope and one called Radical Remission. They're mm-hmm. both written by the same person, Holly, I see you nodding your head. Mm-hmm. So they're amazing books, and it's based off of real data. Like the author was she was a therapist that was helping cancer patients that were doing chemo treatment. She was counseling them through the chemo treatment, and some patient that the doctors had said, like, you're going to die. And I don't remember the details. I'm using a little liberty here, but like, you're going to die within 6 months. And 3 months later, the patient walks out of the hospital, no evidence of cancer. And the counselor, Kelly, can't think of her name, the author of the book. Do you remember Kelly's last name? Mm-hmm. She goes to the doctor and says, hey, what's the deal? You said that patient was going to die. And like 3 months later, walks out, no evidence of cancer. And the doctor said, I don't know.
Kelly Turner.
I don't know what happened. I don't have time to figure it out. I'm too busy dealing with sick patients.
Sorry.
So this is all right in Kelly's book. So Kelly was like, time out. Not accepting that. She actually got her PhD, and part of her thesis when she got her PhD was interviewing what she called radical survivors.
Thank you.
So she interviewed over 1,000 documented cases that were in peer-reviewed medical journals of patients that had been told they were going to die, and 5 years later they were alive with no evidence of cancer. So she interviewed over 1,000 patients, and she found 10 things that all of those people did in common that had nothing to do with chemotherapy or immunotherapy. Or the other, whatever else you can be treated with cancer, radiation. There you go. Mm-hmm. I are a college graduate. I promise.
We know how it is. Trust me. Can't think of words.
So Kelly, in her book, she says that stuff has its place, like immunotherapy, radiation, chemotherapy. It has its place. But that's not even in that. Just trust they're giving you immunotherapy. Just keep eating your Big Macs and drinking your Diet Cokes and everything will be fine. Like, no, it's not going to be fine if you continue your lifestyle. And that's one thing that reading the book kind of opened my eyes to conversations I've had with doctors, because the doctors, and this, I don't think this is a Novant UNC thing. My doctor at UNC is very natural, even though he's a medical doctor. Like, we asked him, what can we do diet wise? And he told us, like, this is what you can do. Novant, when we said, what can we do? They said, there's nothing you can do. This isn't your fault, and there's nothing you can do. Well, just thinking about that, I'm like, if I have a disease in my body, guess what? It's probably my fault. Even if it's just 1% my fault.
Sure.
Like, there's a portion of it that's my fault. So I need to figure out what that is so I can control it. So Radical Remission and Radical Hope helps you with that if you have cancer.
Awesome. Well, we want to point that out to people. And I want to tell you, I have a friend that I was speaking with this week that is in cancer, is healing her cancer currently. And she said to her doctor, she went to her appointment, and they said, listen, we want you to stop losing weight. And what's going on? What are you eating? She had changed to a very natural diet. And she said, well, I'm not having any sugar. And that's, not having sugar. I'm losing weight, but I'm eating, you know? And he said, listen, I don't care how much sugar you have. I just need you to drink some milkshakes, put some weight on. And I literally wanted to come through the phone. I was literally like, I want to choke him out. I want to choke him out right now. My father had heart disease, had open heart surgery at 51, had quadruple bypass. And they told him it wasn't his fault. And that it was genetic, because his parents, let me tell you something, your DNA might be the chamber of bullets, but your activity is what loads the chamber and pulls the trigger. Okay. Mm-hmm. We all have propensities for things, but our lifestyles are 100% impacting our lives. And if you don't know that, just look at the rise in cancers and heart disease. Ever since our food got shitty, I'm going to say it, ever since it got overly processed and crappy, and we did this mass feeding system here in America, and we started prescribing a medicine and a vaccine for every single thing under the sun. Like the trajectory follows, it tracks. And so for us to not want to look inward to say, what can I control? What can I do differently? How might I have done things that contributed to this? And let's be real, we don't all have a cancer diagnosis here, but we all know things we've done in our lives that did not probably contribute to good health. And so that's why you should do exactly this, and why we'll point people to good energy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get Kristen, I want you to read the passage you sent us, didn't you? You sent us, yes. Good energy, Casey, means like that. She talks about this, Travis. She said exactly what you said. As a doctor, she said, we have propensities, but it's what we're doing that is leading some of us to get a diagnosis and some of us don't, you know? Go ahead. Oh, by the way, my dad healed his, my dad is in great shape. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And I have a question too, after you read, yeah. And after Lexi, I want to ask something.
Just so you know, my dad found a naturopathic doctor who he is on very, very high dose of vitamin C. We're the only mammals that don't produce our own vitamin C in creation, which is fascinating. High dose vitamin C. It's called the Linus Pauling protocol. He goes in for his doctor's appointments. All the doctors at Rex Hospital in Raleigh still go in the cardiology unit are like, how is he doing so well 25 years later? His bypasses still look pristine. Oh, he must be on statins. No, he is not. They call him the least medicated patient in the business. Knock on wood. Thank you, Jesus. He's doing great. I say all that because I think it's just so important for people to know he took his health into his own hands. And what he was supposed to live another 15 years max. And he's, 25 years later, he's still here. I have to share this because it is about empowering yourself. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
This is the thing, two things, just to go along with this. This reminds me of our conversation with Chris Wark. You may know him as Chris Beat Cancer. You've got to, he's like, it's like taking that victim mentality. The doctors make you feel like a victim. It's not your fault. So then you just blame everybody for everything else. And you take that victim mentality. And if you keep saying, oh, it's not my fault, then you're not going to say I have any control over making myself better. You did get yourself to where you are, even though you were as healthy as, we don't know what happened. It may not be you. It may be the crap there. Try not to cuss. Crap they're putting in our food, crap that's in our air, crap that's in our soil. Like we're in a big toxic bowl of soup. And so it's almost inevitable that we've got this. So that's why we got to pay attention. But we've got to go from victim to accountability and ownership. Take control. Say, look, some of this was my fault. And that also means that's empowering. You can take control. The other thing is, hang on. There's two things with that good energy. One, this just goes along with it. She said the whole theme of what we've been talking about. She said, every institution that impacts your health makes more money when you are sick and less when you are healthy, from hospitals to pharma to medical schools and even insurance companies. And then I also wanted to bring up the point, and I know, Amy, I don't want to forget your question, but Travis, I also want you to just at least throw this out here with people, because I remember on our conversation, you told me what one of the nurses told you as well, like if they recommended chemo or radiation or anything, what she said, this is for a nurse there, but, and then this will make sense as to why I screenshotted this passage. She said, during residency, one of my best friends was a cancer surgeon. During the meeting with my mom's doctors, words my friend spoke years before rang in my head. If you walk through the doors of this surgical oncology department, you are going to get an operation whether you need it or not. So, it just makes you think, like, are they trying to help you or are they trying to help themselves? But what did she say? And then I want Amy to ask her question too. So
it just makes me, when you say that, Chris, it makes me think of the quote of, if every problem is a nail, the only solution is a hammer, something like that. Like,
mm-hmm. If your only tool's a hammer.
If your only tool's a hammer, every problem is a nail. Yeah. It's kind of like if you walk into the surgical, like, right. Cancer department. They do surgery. So they're going like they're, I don't think it, I really don't think we have many bad and nefarious people that work in the medical system. We have a nefarious system.
Yes.
That, and Casey talks about that in her book, like that surgeon does surgery. So of course, guess what? You need surgery when you show up there. That's what they're trained to do, is to find where you need surgery and go do it.
What can I cut out to make you better?
Right. Yeah, what can I cut out? Where does my knife go on your body? Mm-hmm. So that when I went and did the, I think it was the MRI biopsy at some point, somebody who was helping prep me, she said, you really need to go to a different hospital and get another opinion. And this was before they told me I had spindle cell neoplasm. It was the PET scan to see where else. We knew there was a tear in my lymph nodes and they were going to see if it's anywhere else in my body. So when I did the PET scan, she said, you need to go somewhere else. And I said, okay, why? Like, give me more information. Clearly you work with this hospital. Like, why are you saying this? And she said, because in my opinion, they're too aggressive here. Like, they're going to over radiate you. And they're going to, like, if you're supposed to get chemo for 2 years, they're going to give you chemo for 2 years, even if your body is saying, nope, don't need cancer. And she said, you need to go somewhere like UNC or Duke that's more cutting edge. And now we've got to experience firsthand the pharmaceutical company that says, I need 2 to 4 treatments of 2 drugs and drop one of the drugs and do 1 for 1 to 2 years. And the doc is like, 1 treatment, we're stopping for now. And he said, we may come back and give you one drug. And he said, but we're going to stop for now and see what's going on in your body. So I got to experience that firsthand. And really, in hindsight, when I am at Novant, they said the cure would be to cut this tumor out, to do one of you probably knows the term, they would cut me open from here all the way down to my collarbone, take out all my lymph nodes, and then they would do radiation for 10 weeks. When we went to UNC, and that was squamous cell carcinoma, when we went to UNC, the doctor there actually said, we're going to do immunotherapy. And I was like, well, they said they would remove it. Nope, we're not doing that. We're doing immunotherapy first to see if we can get these things smaller. Mm-hmm. Because why would we cut them out if with immunotherapy we can make them smaller? Now, that was when they thought I had squamous cell carcinoma. So we end up not going that route anyhow. Mm-hmm. But with melanoma, even the same thing. They took out what was left of the tumor and I think removed 2 of my lymph nodes. Where Novant was like, we're slicing you open and taking everything.
And giving you radiation.
And the system or whatever kind of chemo that goes all over your body.
Yeah, systemic chemo. It was just like, it was clear in hindsight. I mean, it was a God thing that she told me to go. She was planting a seed because it's like it's your local hospital, wherever your local hospital is, whoever's listening, like, just because they're your local most convenient hospital does not mean they're the best option.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take Novant out of this. If you're listening to this in California, mm-hmm. you know, your local hospital may not be the best option for whatever disease you have. So do some research and find out who is. And specifically to Wilmington, like UNC and Duke, there are people that travel from states away
mm-hmm.
to get their cancer treatment at hospitals that we have 2.5 hours away. So please.
So fortunate.
Yes, it is.
100%. And I do think, again, this is just a demonstration, advocacy for yourself and your loved ones. You know, Susan, I know that you have been right by his side the entire time. And before I forget, before I talk to you, Amy, you have a question. I don't want us to forget.
No, and it's not really even a question, and you really kind of answered it, but I was just curious, like, about the spots on your lungs and how they said what that was. I can't remember what it's called now, but the palliative care diagnosis. When your friend took the slides, the biopsy slides, that was also along your lung biopsy slides as well. And they were confirmed as melanoma by UNC. It's just like, so did you ever go back to Novant and say, by the way, mm-hmm. like, I'm not getting treatment here. You completely misdiagnosed. Do they know they misdiagnosed you completely? I mean, and have you gotten any like scans on your lungs? Are those shrinking or how was the treatment for that?
Yeah. So, well, I guess back to the lady that told me to leave Novant because they're over radiate you, they're over scan you, they're over everything. I haven't had another full body scan because of that. Because the doctor has said, like, we're not going to just scan you unnecessarily.
Right.
Like, we're not going to do
that. If this is shrinking, then you assume that everything.
The doctor at UNC, he's such an amazing guy. He throws out numbers. Like he said, in 92% of the time, you have homogeneous shrinkage, which means 92% of the time, if this thing was huge and now it's almost gone, whatever was in your lungs is probably gone. He's like, because the smallest tumor I had in my body was the 2 tumors in my lungs. They were the smallest. So he's working under the current, the assumption that it's likely gone. He did tell me there's not a guarantee. And we're actually going next week to get a full body scan. So next week, I think next Tuesday, we do a scan in the morning. And that's another thing with UNC. We do a scan in the morning and we meet with him in the afternoon with the results of the scan. It's not a scan and come back a week later. And it's not.
Thank God.
Yeah. And I mean, UNC has just been such a, like our the first time we met there, we met with Dr. Lumley, who's the surgical oncologist, because that's who I was dealing with here at Novant. And we met with her, we chatted with her for a few minutes, and she said, so what does your oncologist say at Novant? And we just looked at her and was like, we haven't met with him yet. And she was like, you haven't met with an oncologist? Like, she's like, this has been 3 weeks, I think almost a month at that point. She's like, it's almost been a month. What the hell do you mean you haven't met? And we're like, well, we've got an appointment scheduled for next week. And she said, I'll be right back. She walks out of the room. She comes back in less than 5 minutes with her cell phone in her hand. And she says, you're going to be meeting with Dr. Sheth, who's the squamous cell carcinoma guy here, in 30 minutes. Like, he hasn't responded to me, but he doesn't tell me no. It's unacceptable that you haven't met with an oncologist. And then the nurse navigator took us down, and they were apologetic. Like, I'm so sorry you're having to wait. And like, honey, we waited 15 minutes. We waited an hour and a half at Novant, and we had a 2 o'clock appointment. It was 3:30 before we got back there. Like,
stuff. Oh yeah. My gosh. May I never have to go to Novant Health for any reason whatsoever.
Yeah. And I don't want to sound like I'm bashing them, because I'm grateful for my whole journey.
Of course.
And there's some great people that work there.
And there's amazing,
sure.
phenomenal amazing people that work there.
I can, Sue and I have an agreement for the two of us and our two kids. And that is, if we're having a medical emergency and we can survive it to the closest hospital that's not related to Novant,
yeah,
where we're going.
Totally.
And if we can't survive it, then we'll stop at Novant. And as soon as, if it's Sue, if it's the kids, as soon as that person is stable enough to get the hell out of Novant, we'll be getting there. We will call an attorney if the doctor says no. And like, I don't care. I'm getting I'm getting someone here. You will let me out of this hospital so I can go to another system.
And listen, that's so important. And just put that in your child's records too for school. You know, because okay, there you go, for homeschool. So and my kids are at a private Christian school, so I was always able to say, you go right on past. Wake, Carrie, wake. We are not going to that hospital. You're gonna take them to Rex Hospital in Raleigh. It's going to take you 2 miles more. I don't care. That's where they're going to go. Because I had so many, I mean, used to be Carrie, Wake Med here, and Carrie was horrible. And that's a suburb of Raleigh where there's great hospitals. But the satellite hospitals were so broken. And that, you know, you just learn where the cutting edge best doctors are going to probably work. And where they're not. And so you just start choosing it if you have a choice, you know?
Well, and I think that's what's hard is that they almost make it like it's not a choice when every hospital around here has been taken over by this system. And I want to remind everybody, I mean, I worked there for 17 years, but this was before Novant took over. So it's not necessarily the people at the hospital or the hospital employees. It is the broken system. And you will know when you have a doctor that's listening and a doctor that cares and looks outside the box, you know. And I know, Travis, you're even doing, didn't your doctor even say or recommend? Well, I know you couldn't during the immunotherapy, but after, like IV, ozone, high dose vitamin C, these things. And I will also say, as much as we're touting Duke and Chapel Hill, my mom, her oncologist at Duke wanted her to have nothing to do with high dose vitamin C. So said there's not enough evidence, even though they were treating
her
like a guinea pig because she had a rare aggressive cancer that they didn't even know how to treat. They were treating it like colorectal cancer. She had an appendix. It was an appendix cancer. And she's, thank God, of course, thank you, Jesus, that she is okay right now. But, and she's in, like, you think the best hands at Duke. And it's very frustrating. She even showed stuff, and this is my mom, which is not normally like this, but she was even doing her research and showing them, but they're just, so you still don't know. You still don't know. It's really like luck of the draw with some of these doctors too.
And I think just having an open-minded doctor who will listen to you, who actually wants to partner with you instead of boss you around. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to give their area of expertise and you're going to give them feedback based on what you know about your own body. And we've got to have more of that kind of care in this country. And the doctor's not your boss. You're the boss of your body. So if your doctor is saying and doing something that does not agree with you, you fire your doctor. Mm-hmm. You fire your doctor and you go find somebody else. I know that's not convenient. It's not easy, but we have got to hold these people to a better standard. And I will say, if you just go right now and Google Novant Health in ratings, November 15th, 2024, the fall 2024 safety grades for three local hospitals show decreases for two and no change for one, according to the Leapfrog Group, which is a watchdog organization that collects data in hospitals. Novant Health New Hanover Regional Medical Center received a C, the worst grade it has received since Novant took over the facility. It received a B in the spring report. Columbus Regional down in Whiteville got a C. And then Brunswick Medical Center received a B, a downgrade from A, ever since Novant took over these hospitals. So, there you go. I'll say it.
Yeah.
Glad you went to UNC.
Yes.
Okay. So Susan, as you know, as his wife, as an advocate for him, what advice do you have to people when if you have a loved one that's going through a tough diagnosis, what have you learned, you know, that's the most helpful?
I love ChatGPT. And anytime Travis got a biopsy back, I would take all of it and say, explain this. And so and then, you know, I would take out different sections and as they explain further. And so, I got a whole education on all things cancer, basically. You can use it to, I know a lot of people don't like AI and, you know, I'm not a fan for the most part, but actually I'm a huge fan because it's such an important tool. And like when they said spindle cell neoplasm, I went in, who specializes in spindle cell neoplasm? And I learned super fast. There's only like 13 confirmed cases of spindle cell neoplasm. I'm like, well, crap. So, which basically meant nobody was doing clinical trials because there's no people to do them on really. But then when we got the diagnosis for nodular melanoma, I put in nodular melanoma, who's doing clinical trials for that. And found out immediately, like Sloan Kettering popped to the very top of that list as far as doing clinical trials, but also, you know, just researching our doctor. When we got an appointment, with Dr. Moskos, I looked him up and researched him and found out, okay, who is he and what does he believe in? And I mean, that man loves some melanoma. I mean, he is passionate about figuring out melanoma and helping his patients. And, you know, we learned that there was a lady in Wilmington and he was her doctor. And just like he had such an amazing reputation with her. So, you know, just I'm a researcher. I research the heck out of whatever I can, whatever therapies. Just like when he said that Travis had to stop supplements when he was going on immunotherapy. I was like, are you sure? You know, is there anything we can take? I sent like the back of the vitamin bottles and like, hey, here's what's in everything. And they're like, this can interact with this, this can interact with this, this can interact, you know, so it was very thorough and, you know, ask a ton of questions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did go to, we went to Kansas to the Reardon Clinic. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful we did that because I feel like the vitamin C treatments that Travis did prior to the immunotherapy, which he couldn't do them with immunotherapy, but I feel like that and the ozone therapy that he did before, I really think that probably strengthened his body in a way that because, you know, from the biopsies, I knew that his body was not fighting the melanoma at all. Mm-hmm. You know, his immune system was not activated at all with the melanoma prior to immunotherapy. So I had researched all that. So him going and getting that foundation was huge. You know, we've listened to the Radical Remission podcast together, especially on the way there. He's also worked with Remission Nutrition, which is another resource that I would highly recommend. had no idea that based on the type of cancer you have, you need to eat certain things and not eat certain things. So we have a friend who has ovarian cancer. Well, hers was like super, super low protein, like almost no protein diet. Whereas melanoma, you need to give your body all the nutrients to strengthen your immune system. So he needed to weigh up his protein and, you know, do other broad things as well. So just all the stuff, there's so much you can learn if you are willing to just dive in and use the resources on your computer.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think, I mean, I know you guys have a strong faith as well, and I'm sure that's played the foundational role, right? In how you've approached everything is your prayerful and you're listening to God really kind of direct those steps, even when it's very noisy in your brains and you're scared and you don't know, you just still can, there's still that small voice that just starts to put you on the path that you need to be on. And I know I'm so grateful for that in my life. I know you guys have to, feel that same way, but the fact that you became aggressive in your approach to, we're going to figure all of this out as best we can, is, I believe, between faith and that positive mindset, that positive belief that this is not over, this is, we can navigate this, that I think I watched a show once on Netflix that just said, I remember they were looking at people who had healed from diseases and they weren't all Christians. They weren't, but everyone had faith that their body could heal. And I just thought that was like, so, I mean, even Jesus said, if you have a faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it'll move. We are created in the image of God. There's something when we believe and we are putting our faith and energy, and fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is faith in the other direction. When you're putting your faith, and so the changes that happen in your life are profound. And I hope what anyone listening takes from this, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through today, that your mindset and your perspective are crucial to outcomes. And
can I just talk about community for a minute,
please? Yes.
Okay. So we have, we're a member of a local church, and we don't really have a membership. We just show up.
Yeah.
Anyways. And the thing I love is like the churches, we do have a building now, but for 10 years we were mobile. And so it's, we're family.
Yeah.
And I've never in my life seen a community of people that operates like a family, like what we are involved in. Mm-hmm. And when I say that we're involved in family, I mean, like, I have people that come and pick up my kids. I have people that take care of my kids. When we go to, appointments, they're like, what do you need? We came home one time, they cleaned the whole house. We came home one time, like, there are still Bible verses put in cabinets, in drawers, just like, so, they wrote us letters. And you have to be willing to be vulnerable and ask for help.
Yeah.
And to realize, I think another thing that's really important in any kind of journey that's a major health issue is be willing to receive help. Because we have some people that are like, hey, we're going to do my brother-in-law's did a gun raffle. Some people from the fire department did an event at Bowstring. So like all these different things. And, I'm a super, super independent person. I'm like, no, I can do it all myself. And this was one I just went, I just said yes to everything. Can I do this for you? Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, and that's so it does take an ounce of humility, right? And to recognize you do need this help. You need it.
Yes. And like one of our friends, like, I text her, and like when we were going to Kansas, she had a different prayer team praying for us every day. And she goes, okay, what are the specifics? This is what I've got. What else needs to be prayed for?
What a gift.
And that's just like huge. And, and they're still praying for us. We still got that prayer group going, and I still reach out and I'm like, okay, mamas, this is what we got today. And, just the community alone, be willing to receive the love around you, because, it's like, let people be the hands and feet of Christ when they want to.
Mm. Well, and it's also, it allows them, it opens them up to receive the blessing from blessing you too, right? Mm-hmm. It's a, the sowing and reaping principle in full effect. Let them get their blessing from helping you. Yeah, and so I love your story. And I mean, listen, we are praying with you guys for just complete health in you, Travis, and that you will continue to be a living testimony of not just survival, but thriving because of all that you've learned. And that you guys, I have no doubt, you know, in the Bible, it says you've been afflicted so you can comfort others in their affliction. But I have no doubt that you're not just going to be a comfort to others, but you will be a powerful resource and tool, and you will be change agents in a broken system. I really pray that over you guys, that you'll just be, mm-hmm. you will really be change agents to help people sitting in your area and really around the world right now that are in this situation that don't know what to do. And my mom and I, just to close this out, we were talking about this yesterday because Kristen, Amy, and I, because of this podcast and because of the way we live our lives, we get reached out to a lot by sick people. Mm-hmm. Who's your doctor? Where do I go? I've gotten this diagnosis. I don't know what to do. You know, where do I find my vitamins? I mean, you name it. We get asked, right? And so after a while, the three of us start to feel like, well, number one, we're not doctors. Number two, we're not even nutritionists. Like, we literally are readers and consumers of information, and we can relay that. And let me just encourage everyone, that's what you can be too. You can be a resource. As you learn, you can teach, right? And so But it's a heavy burden because this week alone, you know, I had had like four or five conversations with people who were stuck in the system, yeah. and I can't do everything for them, you know? And so they have to be their own advocates and their own fighters. But maybe by this episode, we can encourage everyone to know you can do it. Mm-hmm. Trust that you can do it and reach out to the people and start, just start like you guys did, just start looking and reading and learning and asking for help. Yeah. So, because you can navigate around it.
And I think too, if you're not, you know, we happen to be two very assertive people, you know, it's like we're going after it and we're not going to take just anything. But if that's not your personality, it's okay. I promise you, there is somebody in your life that is.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Two things real quick for people. I know you mentioned Chris beat cancer. I don't know Chris personally. I know that his journey has impacted a lot of people positively. The thing that I would, if you're diagnosed with cancer, I would just step back and really think to yourself, I don't have cancer. I have melanoma, or I have basal cell. Like that is what you cancer is just such a lump. If the way that Chris naturally got rid of cancer from his body, I think he had colorectal
mm-hmm. stage 4
system. Mm-hmm. Juicing is extremely effective for that. Juicing's not effective for melanoma. So I just don't. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to hear one person's cancer journey and go, oh, they have cancer. I have cancer. I'll do the same.
Right.
You really need to boil down into what kind of cancer you have. Yes. And then the second thing, and this sounds weird, but it's just, I think anybody struggling, like at the end of the day through this journey, I've realized that I'm going to die. And when I say that, no, I don't mean from cancer. I mean, like all five of us, we're going to die. That's the reality that's coming for us. Mm-hmm. And as I've realized that enables me to make decisions that give me the best opportunity to live while holding it openly, like understanding I'm still going to die.
That's right.
And because I think if you are sick and you feel like you're going to die, it's like, oh my goodness, I'm doing something wrong. If I had more faith, or if I had the right doctor, if I had the right ever, I know I would live. Well, maybe not. So just let that go. Like, we're all going to die. Let's just be done with that conversation. And how do I best set myself up to live the best life that I can live for the time that I have.
And may that be what everybody thinks, regardless of whether you've ever had a diagnosis or not. Every day, get up and live to the fullest, mm-hmm. And take care of yourself to the best of your ability so you can live to the fullest. If you're, you know, health is wealth, if you don't have it, and it's very hard to do the other things you're called to do on this earth, right? It's just every day, if we all woke up with that mindset, Travis, we'd all be better off because we want to live rich and full lives until it's our time to go. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it won't take a diagnosis to wake us up from our slumbers and remind us that we need to be doing that. So thank you guys so much for sharing. I know you guys have a house showing. We got things we got to go do, but thank you guys. We have a Substack that will follow this episode that Kristen mm-hmm. always puts out. We're going to link everything we discussed. So we're going to try to get those from Travis and Susan, the places he went as well, where they got the book, Radical Hope, Radical Remission, all those things, Crowd Health. We're going to link it. So you guys have it. So check out our Substack, Just Think the Podcast on Substack. You can find all our resources there. Guys, thanks for joining us. We'll see y'all next time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.